Thank you, Brother Pastor, for that. I'm lost for words to describe such an introduction. I am glad to be here with you today. As I look back over the years, as he has brought attention to, I find it so satisfying to look out upon a congregation that has, well, I'm not going to say filled the auditorium, but has made it look quite well. Because I remember, can I pull this thing down just a little bit? I remember when there were days when we only had a few people gathered on Sunday morning. I can remember, too, when this auditorium was filled even before that time. But there came a time when there was a falling away. And I'm glad to see that we're on the upside of that curve now. And I hope that I live to see the day when all these benches are going to have to be crowded in order to get all the folks come. That will be a thrill. But it's still a thrill to me to have you here and be able to give a reason for the hope that is within me. I know that there's a reason for each of us here, or we wouldn't be here, unless it's just the little people who have to come because they're brought. We all have a reason for coming, and that is, hopefully, to draw ourselves more closely to our Heavenly Father and to be strengthened not only by the words which are uttered, but to be strengthened by the association of those who love God and are striving to serve Him and keep His commandments. I'd like to read for our consideration from the book written by Matthew in the 11th chapter. It's always hard to start in the middle of the chapter, but I'm going to start with the 7th verse. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, This is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I hope that that's why we came this morning, because we have ears to hear, that we might come closer to following what Jesus wants us to follow, that we might have joy when we leave here. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. And I wonder, are we like that? Are we like those folks were back there when Matthew preached this sermon to those? I can't answer that. We have to each one answer for ourselves, don't we? And saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Why did they say that? Because it's publicans and sinners that God calls to come into his kingdom. And we've been called. And I hope that if there are any who have not responded to that call this morning, we'll give it deep and serious consideration, that we might come into that kingdom. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. Verily I say unto you, among them, I'm not seeing too well to this morning for some reason. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is it. This is Elias, which was for to come. I want to drop down now to the 25th verse. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Sometimes we wonder about that statement, don't we? But he's the one that knows the Father truly. Save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I hope it has been revealed to each of us about the Father and the Son, that we might hearken unto what they have said for us to do. In the 27th verse, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father, but the, no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son would reveal him. Now I want you to notice the last three verses of this. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Do we have burdens to bear? Well, what a foolish question. Of course we have burdens to bear. Every one of us have burdens to bear. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's why we're met here this morning, that we might be relieved somewhat of those burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's up to you and me what we decide to do about that invitation. And we have to do it. Excuse me. We have to do it often, don't we? We have to bring our burdens to the Lord daily. And if there's anyone of us that doesn't have a burden, I want to meet that person. I look back over the years and think of the many times that I have come into this room, and I'm going to repeat what I've said before. I don't feel like this is any different than the old room that I grew up in, because it's the same space. It has new walls, and those walls are a little further apart than they used to be. And I'm glad for that, because we were getting to the point where we were hemmed in and wondered what in the world we were going to do to have enough room to take care of our congregation. And the Lord took care of our problem. Oh yes, He had a human instrument. We didn't want it that way, but here we are. More room, more people can gather in. The Lord has blessed us. He's watched over us. He's protected us. No one got hurt in that which was brought about. And I'm grateful for each of you who have come to help to carry this burden on. There was a time I was wondering what was going to happen to the church. It grew smaller and smaller. And when I look back and review some of the history, there were 12 families came to independence in 1867. 12 families. They've all fallen away except one. That's hard to think of, isn't it? That's hard to believe. They all went their ways. And then I think of my grandfather and his family. He had a large family. When he came, he had 6 children. His companion died. His wife died. He wrote to my grandmother and said, "You've always wanted a home in Zion. I'll give you a home in Zion if you'll come to be a mother to my children." And that was quite a responsibility to take on for a young woman. But she took him up on it and then turned around and gave him 8 more. Of those 14 children, only one is represented here today. The rest of them dropped away one by one. Why? Because they were attracted by the world. They were attracted by the world. And I am wondering how well we are going to hold to that rod of iron, that safety valve or that safety guide, God's word, and stay together. I believe we are. I have great hopes. I have reason to believe that God's going to keep us together so that we will be able to accomplish His work. But brothers and sisters, we don't have much time to laugh, do we? What must we do? We must remember that He said to us, that we should come together often to pray. Not only just to meet and hear the word preached from the pulpit, but to come together to pray. It does me a lot of good to hear your prayers, and I hope that I make a contribution when I offer mine, that we might all be united. Because I count you just as much my brother as anybody in my family and my sister. I didn't intend to leave the sisters out of it. But I feel that way. You're just as much my brother and my sister as those who were given to me by my mother. You're God's children. And that makes us one. My hope and prayer is that we can let this love that we have one for another shine out so much that others will want to join us. And it's happened. And that's why some of you are here, because of that very same thing. I want you to know that each one of you are very precious to me, and that I count you so. I'd like to turn over here and read a few more. If we turn over to the 11th chapter of Luke, if you want to follow along with me. Starting with the 5th verse, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for the friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need that Holy Spirit, don't we? We need it to guide us each day. We need it to guide us always. And I wonder how many of us depend upon the Spirit of God to guide us in all of our activities. I hope we all do. That's what we need to do. We are tempted by the things of the world. We're led sometimes by those things that come up, and we've got to hold fast to our Heavenly Father that we might be blessed and that we might hold together and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. I had some other notes that I evidently misplaced when I got my things together. But I want to bear witness of the blessings that God has given to me back through the years. You know, my mother being a member of a family of 14, she said when she married, she wanted 2 boys and 2 girls. And she got them. But I'm number 7. I know that brings a smile to some of you. But you know, I'm so glad that the Lord didn't listen to what she wanted. I'm glad I'm here. Where might I have been? You ever stop to think about if you hadn't come into the family where you were, would you be here today? God has a reason for each one of us. And it's up to us to fulfill that reason. Excuse me. And nobody can take our place. We each one have a job to do. Do you feel like you're getting your job done? I have to look back on my life. I became a school teacher when I was right out of high school. And I'm glad I did. There were other things I could have gotten into. But I had the welfare of my fellows at heart. And I wanted to be a school teacher. And the way opened up. And I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to have influence, because from comments that have since been made, I feel like I must have had a degree of success anyway. And we each one want to be successful. We each one want to do what God wants us to do, or we wouldn't be here. And I hope that we will press onward and upward in the high calling of Jesus Christ, and have a good influence upon those people who are around us. And with these remarks, I'm going to turn the meeting back over to my brother. And wish for you God's richest blessings, that we all might let the light of our lives shine forth to those round about us in such a way that will be a good influence upon those with whom we come in contact. Because we have an influence. Every last one of us have an influence on somebody. What is that influence? Is it something we're proud of afterwards? That's something we should continually keep on our minds in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we think. Because as I think, I act. And so do you. Bless each and every one of you is my prayer. And may we strive earnestly with all our heart, might, mind, and strength to do His will.